Hello and welcome to How to Feel Good, the podcast where we talk about everything related to health, osteopathy, and whatever is on my mind. So I had planned this episode for quite some time, but then everything came a bit different than I expected. I have COVID, so I've been sick at home for the last couple of days, and hence excuse my voice. It cannot be as pleasant and sexy as it usually is. Still, I really wanted to get this episode up. Don't worry about me, I'm fine. The first days were a bit hard, but now I'm recovering already. I will be fine. Gonna take a nap after I finished recording this. So this episode was on my mind for a long time and I really wanted to make it. And at the same time, I'm super scared not to find the right words. When I told the topic to my boyfriend, who is my most valued critic, by the way, he told me to be really careful. So I hope that I will find a way to talk about this topic without hurting or offending anyone. And of course, I want to stay as respectful as possible, but the topic of today is very delicate. And still, I think that it is important to address and discuss it and that we can benefit from a discussion. I will also try to make this episode not too political. I want to stay on the more personal side of things, but I won't be able to keep politics and sociology totally out of this. So after this little preface, what is the topic of today's episode? I want to talk about victimhood and victim mentality today. I've been thinking about these topics for the last months, and I was inspired by a few resources that I saw recently. One of them was an interview with my favorite YouTuber called Kidology. I will link her channel in the show notes. She's an intellectual YouTuber who does very comprehensive video essays about modern society, and she has a very unique way of discussing complex topics. You could say she's one of my inspirations. I rarely see so much depth in online content, and I can only recommend you to check her out. I'm truly impressed by her work. She was interviewed on the show Trigonometry, which is not a show that I watch or follow, so I can't speak about the host in general. But this interview was great. She spoke about her experience being an African-raised black person in Cambridge, UK, and how studying critical race theory made her miserable. The interview is also linked in the show notes. Since racism is not something that I experience, I won't be talking about that today. It is not my place to discuss it, but I want to dive a little deeper into the topics of identity politics and self-victimization. Once again, as respectful as possible. But before we start, let me give you one more preface. In order to contextualize my perspective, we need to point out where I come from. I'm a therapist that works with humans every day. It is my job to listen, to be open and accepting, and to help my patients advance in their lives. It is not my job to find solutions, but rather to accompany humans on their way to more health, freedom, and personal growth. I personally don't see myself as an intellectual. My knowledge and experience does not come primarily from books. Instead, I am blessed to learn from the daily interactions I have with all these wonderful humans that come to me for help. I am truly grateful for the trust these people give me and for them allowing me to be part of their journey. My intention is to learn from each human experience, to grow in order to be a better mirror for others, and to contextualize the things that I learn from all these interactions. This is why I love doing this podcast so much, because it allows me to condense my thoughts and my learnings from all these meaningful conversations I have with clients, and of course also other people in my life. The title How to Feel Good is not a lesson that I give, but rather a question that is to be explored in each episode. I learn from all of you listeners that interact with me and, of course, from every client that I work with. We all grow together. So this episode is one that does not primarily root in literature or in social studies or psychology. It comes from my heart and from my experiences with real humans that open up to me about their life. So let's get into it. To introduce the topic, let's look at why this is something that I'm thinking about and what led me to my thoughts. I would say that throughout my life, I would have categorized myself politically as quite far left. I'm not the activist type, so you won't find me on demonstrations, but my mindset and my ideas are very left-leaning. I would say that this has changed to some degree. Maybe age also makes me a little more conservative. But moreover, I'd say that I have grown increasingly disappointed by the leftist movements. And that is because I feel like instead of cooperating and finding a way to fight for good causes, leftist organizations tend to fight and compete against each other over the question, who is the woker human and who is more discriminated? And therefore I see very little dialogue, very little solution, and very little advancement in these circles. Basically, I have removed myself from these environments because I prefer to stay constructive. Something that is very much used and abused consciously and subconsciously in far left but also far right circles is victim mentality. Victim mentality is a term that describes the feeling of being the victim to some outside circumstances that you can do nothing about. I will give some common examples that I'm sure you have heard before. A very common one is, I'm jobless because the foreigners are taking all the jobs. Or, I struggle financially because the Jewish elite controls all the money. These are extreme examples of far-right thinking, blaming others, in this case Jewish people or immigrants, for one's own problems. Victim mentality is something that we humans can take on when we see ourselves in situations of humiliation, despair, powerlessness, and hopelessness. When something horrible happens to us and we feel like there's nothing in our power to take control over the situation. This kind of situations can happen. Everybody finds themselves in a hopeless situation at some point in their lives. Horrible things happen every day and there are things that we simply can't control. The death of loved ones, for example, accidents, violence, discrimination, bullying, our entire childhood. As children, we don't have control about the circumstances we grow up in. We're simply born into the family that we're born into. There's not much that we can do about it. To some extent, health is also part of that. One can be born with a disease or a disability. Sometimes there's nothing that we can do about the situation that happens to us. I'd go as far as to say we all are victims at some point in our life. Victims to injustice, to randomness, to the cruelty of others. But the question is, do we let our victimhood become our identity? Do we let victimhood define us? If you follow this podcast, you'll know that identity is one of my favorite topics to talk about. But why do some people seemingly choose to make their victimhood their identity? Well, I think this is a very complex question, and I don't claim that I can answer it in its entirety, but there are two aspects that I want to touch on. The first one is learned helplessness. Learned helplessness is a psychological term that describes a constant feeling of helplessness, even in situations in which one actually could change something, because this is what you learned in past experiences. You might have heard about Seligman's experiment in psychology in which dogs are exposed to electric shocks in different situations to study their behavior. The first group of dogs gets electrocuted with mild shocks, but they have the option to prevent the shocks by a simple behavior, for example, operating a lever. The second group of dogs gets the same amount of electric shocks, but they have nothing to prevent themselves from the shocks. Both groups are then put into a box that consists of two rooms. One room has an electrifying floor, the other one doesn't. The dogs are free to move from one room to the other. The experiment shows that the dogs that have learned that they can prevent themselves from being shocked quickly find their way into the other part of the room where they are safe. Group 2, who has been shocked without the option to prevent themselves from shocks, does not try to change rooms. They simply become lethargic and lay down. They give up and endure the electric shocks, even though nothing prevents them from leaving the room. This is because they learned that there's nothing they can do in order to change the situation. This perceived helplessness is the result of a former experience that influenced the dog's behaviors in a situation they actually could change. The experiment is complex and has been used to study and describe human depression. I won't dive into this, I'm not knowledgeable enough about that subject. But this experiment shows that learned helplessness is something that can make us perceive ourselves as helpless victims in situations in which we actually could change something. That brings us to the topic of facts and interpretation that we will dive into soon. It shows us that there is a reality in which multiple options can be possible, but due to our perspective, we might be limited to only see one option or none at all. The second aspect I want to touch on in order to explain victim mentality is the benefits that it can provide. Identifying as a victim as well as openly presenting as one can have some advantages. On one side, it can justify egoistic behavior. If life is so unfair to me, why should I make an effort or take care of others? And on the other side, it can manipulate how others treat us. Presenting as a helpless victim of a situation evokes empathy in others, which can result in better treatment. If you disclose that you are going through a tough time, your boss might not bother you with extra work. He will ask another team member to do it. Or if you cry in front of your teacher, explaining them how hard it was for you in the last month to juggle work and studies at the same time, maybe they will turn a blind eye to it and round up your grade so you don't fail. Lastly, being a victim can become your entire identity. I suffer, therefore I am. I want to make it clear that we all go through tough times in life, and I personally think being open and vulnerable about it is a good thing. The world needs empathy, and we as humans should take care of each other. But it is a different thing when playing the victim becomes something regular and manipulative. I'm not pointing the finger at anyone here, and I don't want to play the moralizer. I rather want to point out how easy it is for all of us to fall into this behavior unconsciously, and how dangerous it can be. I myself am absolutely not free of that. I believe that nobody is. The thing is, this is highly dysfunctional. I said that I didn't want to make it too political today, but in order to point out why victim mentality is so dangerous, let's use some political examples. In Germany, as well as all over Europe, we have a problem of a rising far-right movement that is increasingly tolerated and continuously gains power. In France, we have the party of Marine Le Pen. In Italy, Giorgia Meloni, who describes herself as openly fascist, has been elected as the new president. And in Germany, the far-right party Alternative für Deutschland is as popular as never before. We can't deny that these extreme right positions have growing attractions and people are voting for them. But I suppose that I'm not telling you anything new here. One common strategy of extreme positions, not only the far right, is to create an us versus them mentality, in which there is a common enemy, for example the Jew, the immigrant, that wants to destroy us, the good people, and take what is ours. This strategy is incredibly powerful because it creates a common victim narrative a la, my life is shit because of them. If you're unhappy with your life situation, maybe because you have financial problems or you feel left alone by society or the state, blaming your problems on someone else is very attractive. If you hate the elites, the Jews, the immigrants, the women, you don't need to hate yourself. This position is very comfortable because you don't need to question yourself. You don't need to act and you don't need to ask yourself how you might have been part of creating that uncomfortable situation that you're in right now because you can put all the responsibility on someone else. And if it is an outside enemy that is causing all your problems, of course you don't need to look for creative solutions or take responsibility for your life. Because just like the dog in the experiment, you feel like there's nothing you can do anyways, except hate. Creating a collective victim narrative also means to create hate. This is what happened in Germany after World War I. The German population was poor, starving, and defeated by the loss of the war. But instead of seeing their own responsibility for it, which was that they started the war in order to gain power, they blamed someone else for their problems. It wasn't the fault of German men. It was the fault of the Jews, who had infiltrated the country. We all know how the story continues. If this narrative is spun politically, as I just explained, it is the perfect breeding ground for hate and violence, because it is one of the easiest manipulation tools to control masses. If you can convince a group that they are suffering because of someone else, it is very easy to cultivate their hate and to mobilize that energy into violent actions. We see that everywhere in the world. A great example is not only the growing far right, but also the conspiracy movements that are gaining popularity and attraction worldwide, but especially in the West. In the US, as well as in Germany, conspiracy theories have spread exponentially like an infectious disease in the last years. And these lies always contain a victim narrative. Victim mentality is the basis of every conspiracy theory, and that explains why they are so attractive in times of crisis. The pandemic, a global crisis that caused immense suffering in the world, has been a huge catalyst for that. It was a situation in which we all lost control over our lives to some degree. People have lost their lives, got sick, lost close people to the virus and its horrendous effects. Others have lost their job, their income, their stability. Many had to live in constant fear, not knowing what would happen to them and their loved ones tomorrow. Not to forget that Gwyneth Paltrow ate bread. It was a time in which all of us experienced loss of control, fear and helplessness to some degree. And it is understandable that for some of us, this experience has been traumatic. This does not excuse subscribing to a hateful ideology, though. It does not legitimate violence. But this shows us how close being a real victim and abusing victim mentality, consciously or subconsciously, are. Weaponizing one's own victimhood is dangerous because it dehumanizes the other side. We can see this in many political conflicts worldwide right now. On the other hand, it creates community, it can create a sense of self and an identity as well as mobilize energy. This is why it is so popular. Seeing yourself as the victim can feel good. In the beginning, I complained about the political left, and then all the examples I made were about the far right, and I want to make it very clear that both sides use this manipulation technique. My complaints with the political left is that they use a technique called competitive victimhood in order to fight for their causes. And I want to make very clear, most of these causes I completely stand behind. But unfortunately, the message very often gets lost in the chosen form of delivery. Competitive victimhood means to compare your suffering to someone else's in order to compete over who has it worse. By pointing out your own suffering and playing it up against someone else, you become deaf to the problems of others. Furthermore, in a political context, a purely emotional debate kills the factual context. And when that happens, a constructive discussion becomes impossible. We see that a lot in current debate, in which facts and interpretations are mixed up. The body positivity movement is a good example for that. It is a fact that a certain BMI and a certain body fat percentage are unhealthy. Some people in the body positivity movement are now trying to convince the world that this is not the case. These people express their frustration about being discriminated and not taken seriously because of their weight. And this is absolutely understandable and totally valid. Every human at every size deserves the same amount of respect. But this experience of discrimination, as horrible as it is, does not change the fact that obesity is a medical condition that deserves treatment. It is extremely difficult to stay neutral and factual about a topic that touches us personally. And maybe it is not even necessary to stay only factual. I think expressed emotions can be very powerful and don't always have to be manipulative. We just should stay honest in our message. For example, I fight for body positivity because every human, regardless of their size, deserves to be treated well, and not, I fight for body positivity because obesity is healthy. Once again, this shows how much our personal involvement shapes our reality. And here is where we get to the point of this episode. Took me only about 20 minutes to get here. I said I didn't want to talk about politics too much, and so far it's all I did. That's because I wanted to use examples that we all can share and understand. Now let's get away from the collective and focus on the individual. What does victim mentality look like in daily life? First of all, we all do that, myself included. We all sometimes fall into a victim narrative to explain uncomfortable situations, either to ourselves or to others. I can assure you I have done this and probably still do it sometimes, subconsciously or even consciously as a manipulation tactic, or just in order to feel better about myself. Now, since I think so much about that topic, I try to do it less. But I can assure you the benefits of a victim mentality, we discussed them before, can feel so good that nobody's free from that. But I can also say, I personally tend to do it more in times where I don't feel so good. In times in which my mental health is down, where I feel lost or I don't know what I should do with my life. When I'm unhappy or I feel stuck, it is much easier to blame my circumstances than take responsibility for my life. So in day-to-day life, there are many different variations of victim mentality that can occur. An easy example would be, you're late at work because you missed the train. That damn train is never on time. While in reality, maybe you just woke up too late. Now, the difference to a little white lie is that when you're stuck in victim mentality, you believe your own lie. To you, it is the train's fault. You even get angry about it and let it influence your day. Poor you, nothing can ever go right for you. Once again, I think it's totally normal to fall into that sometimes, to be a little emotional and to not want to take responsibility for everything in your life at any moment all the time. Taking responsibility requires some resources and resilience. You have to have the energy and capacity for it, and nobody has that all the time. Also, I believe that we humans have the right to be a little irrational sometimes. Sometimes. But where do we draw the line between normal irrational behavior and a victim mentality problem? Well, I think a good marker for that is how happy someone is in general with their life. A big part of happiness is self-efficacy, the feeling to have power and control over one's own life. If someone is generally happy and feels like they can influence their own life for the good, then a weak moment of "this is not my fault" might not be part of a bigger problem. But if someone is generally unhappy, feeling like they have zero control over their life, the victim mentality can become part of one's identity. And that can lead to many problems, but mainly it prevents the person from actually taking action and changing something. Now, once again, this is a fine line, because feeling like a victim can also be a symptom of a mental illness. Depression, for example, makes you feel like there's no hope and nothing that you can do in order to make your life better. And of course, I'm not saying get your life together and stop playing the victim to a person that suffers from mental illness. But even mental illness requires some form of taking responsibility in order to get better. Going to the doctor, getting diagnosed, finding a therapist, going through therapy, maybe taking some medicine, changing your life and your habits. This is not an easy process at all. And what if you're actually a victim? A victim of discrimination, a victim of assault, a victim of violence, or a victim of a natural catastrophe? It is not unlikely that most of us become a victim in some point of our lives, and that can leave us scarred. In that case, healing can be a long and difficult process, but once again, it requires taking action, taking yourself seriously, talking to professionals, getting the help you require. I'm not making this episode in order to tell anyone it's your fault you're miserable because you're lazy. I rather want to say life is worth living and we shouldn't waste it living a life that we don't want to live. If anything, take this episode as an inspiration to ask yourself, in what areas am I content with my life and in which areas can I improve? I know what it feels like to be stuck in life and to feel like everything is turning against you, but I also know what it feels like to find creative solutions. In the end, I want to raise awareness on how dangerous and destructive a victim mentality can be. As a therapist, I'm quite radical on the position that everyone is the author of their own story. That doesn't mean you should ignore what has happened to you and just think positively. It's quite the opposite, actually. Confront what has happened to you and admit where you are in life. Be honest to yourself, but also be forgiving. Victim mentality also always brings in the factor of guilt. Someone has to feel guilty for your situation, and although we want it to be someone else, in the end it's still us because we feel like we're the losers who can't get ahead in life. I want to end this episode with a few questions for you, and maybe it can help you to write them down. Do you see yourself falling into a victim narrative in some aspects of your life? Where is that? Can you recognize areas in your life you feel like you don't have control over? Which ones are these? Be specific. If you have recognized these areas, what is it that you actually need? And how can you give it to yourself? Well, that's for today's episode. Thank you so much for listening. I know it was a complex topic and I hope I wasn't too much all over the place. As always, you can follow me on Instagram at paula.klichewicz or get in touch with me via email paula@healyourburnout.online. If you're interested in working with me, I offer online coaching. Just contact me and we'll schedule a free trial session where we can talk about anything you want. Maybe this episode inspires you to take some action. I wish those of you who celebrate Christmas a wonderful Christmas time, and I hope that all of you can take some rest during the holiday season and start fresh into the new year.